Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we have to apologize because we don't have George Dixon with us tonight. Last minute, he had to bow out. He's in the process of moving.
I'm sure folks know what that's like.
Things were a little hectic there today for him, so we're going to have to struggle without him here tonight. But what we have is, what we are going to do is we are going to we're going to do about a half an hour or more of the Zell Lungle lecture. And regarding the sixth day, and
which is where we are right now. And he's very articulate about the Mayan
right.
calendar, and makes it very understandable for folks. So I think we'll listen to part of it, and then we can talk about it.
Right, we can discuss it afterwards. But I think
he's really very good.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, very interesting actually, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I hope you're with us tonight, and join us. And again, this is the this is Zell Lungle, and you can capture this also on go to YouTube and put in that Ian Zell Lungle.
He unfortunately has passed away.
Yeah, he died back in 2004 or 2005,
which is really sad because he wasn't very old, and he had a lot of knowledge about the Mayan calendar. So it's a real loss to the field.
He's one of the authorities.
But fortunately for technology, his wisdom is still alive for us.
Well, his video, they kept it intact, and it's an excellent piece of work, as scholarly as well as.
So let's go right to it.
Right. So hope you join us, and this is again Zell Lungle, and he's talking about the.
Sixth day,
right,
of the Mayan calendar,
right,
and how
time is speeding up very, very quickly, and how the mind can only take so much.
Time's not speeding up. What's accomplished in time is speeding up.
Time is speeding up as well.
Well, not really.
When you hear this, you'll understand time is actually speeding up.
Well, go ahead. Let's just go.
Because it's speeding up, and we're. And everything is going faster and faster and faster until the point where we can't even comprehend what's going on. And this segment will explain that and explain what's happening now in the sixth day and what to expect in the in the seventh as well. So so we're gonna go now.
And it's getting faster and faster and faster. Now remember, 2 million years ago. We picked up this tool called the mind. Well, we're going to have a little bit of problem with that thing. And we don't want to talk about that right now. The mind. The mind is a tool. And it's a tool that consciousness uses to distinguish similarities and differences between things. Okay? It is a tool, like a hammer or a saw. A carpenter doesn't think that he's his hammer. Well, not most of them. I know some guys that think they're their car, but that's not true. Some people think that they are their mind. Get over that right away. You are not your mind or any of your thoughts. If you do hold to that, you're going to be in big trouble, and I'm going to show you. See, the mind, you don't hear about this in school either. You don't hear, especially don't hear about this kind of information. I took psychology classes, and no one in college ever talked to me about the flicker frequency. You ever heard of it? Flicker frequency? The reason you haven't heard of it is because this flicker frequency is very, very important in subliminal advertising, which is which of course you would never have experienced yourself. The mind works on a series of pictures. Well, special effects people know all about this. The flicker frequency. The flicker frequency is 24 frames per second. That's how fast your mind works. Your mind has a speed limit. Your mind can only think 24 thoughts in 1 second. It can only make this action 24 times per second. So it goes like a flip card strip. Here's a ball, and the ball's coming, and it's coming, and it's coming, and it bounces here, boom, you know, and it looks like this. And then here it comes again, and it's going to bounce again. Right? That's how the mind actually works. Has anybody here been in an accident? Well, I don't want to bring up bad times, but something that was really dangerous. I mean, you could have died. And did you see time slow down when you were in that accident? Yeah? Okay. Anybody see it go to stop motion? That was serious. What you just witnessed, and for those, maybe some of you kind of have that, and maybe not. I'm telling you, and you guys, I'll bet you will confirm it, these were peak experiences in your life. You still clearly remember exactly what happened, don't you? Oh, yeah. And the reason that was so powerful an experience is because it was a demonstration that you are not your mind. That your consciousness is not limited to how fast this thing works. Very powerful information. This flicker frequency, 24 frames per second, is as fast as your mind can work. The mind is a tool supposed to do a job of seeing the similarities and differences so that you can make decisions concerning your survival. Now, when the mind, which is a self-preservating mechanism, when the mind understands that it can't do its job or it's not adequately able to make good decisions about your future, it's got a built-in, evolved-in safety override. A safety override system. And it goes in stages. The first stage of that safety override is called stress. When your mind is not sure of what's coming, it sends your body a signal. This is your walk away response. You're supposed to get up and walk away. Animals have this down really good. A dog will smell something weird and just get up and leave. Us, on the other hand, we have had parents and teachers and now employers who would not have us just get up and walk away, right? So we have adapted to stress. As a matter of fact, stress is a character evaluation on you. How much stress can you handle? That's right. Because if you could handle more stress, you'd go further up the corporate ladder. That's really what the glass ceiling is on each person, is how much stress can you handle?
I was just going to say that most disability companies no longer stress as a reason for being away from work. You cannot get that coverage anymore.
Right.
That was up 2 years ago.
Meanwhile, doctors, the AMA proclaims that 80% of everything that goes wrong with your body begins with stress. Stress is such an epidemic proportion that all the benefits that used to be afforded to workers for stress have been cut off. Everybody's got stress. It's a pandemic. Now you guys kind of have a clue as to why. You know, if you make a telephone call, you're hooked up to computers that are making something like 4 to 5 billion decisions per second. Your mind is doing 24. Consciousness is moving at least 5 billion decisions per second. You understand that consciousness is as fast as you can realize? So now we're talking about nanoseconds, which is 1/1000th of a second. I mean, 100,000th of a second. Wow. Consciousness has just sped away from your mind. It used to be when this territory was settled, the people who settled it built everything in their house. From the foundation to the floor, to the windows, to the bunk bed, to the chairs, the tables, everything they built with their own hands, didn't they? Except maybe the pump and the skillet. Everything else, they built it. They had a certain amount of knowing about all of that. They knew about how to do it. Go ahead, go home and build a light bulb. That kind of thing is a source for stress. When your computer goes down, there's a whole lot that the mind doesn't know about, and it generates this stress. Like I said, it's a pandemic everywhere. Okay, so you're supposed to handle the stress. You're supposed to adapt to stress. And the stress builds. And we've just seen that this acceleration continues to accelerate, right? So what's next? If you don't handle the stress, then you go into this. The mind does this. It goes into the fight or flight. Now, here, all logic, this is suspended. There is no similarity or difference anymore. It's just a drop of adrenaline in your system, and the body is supposed to either run away or fight its way out to preserve your idea of survival. That's the mechanism. This, though, this fight or flight, this is death rage. This is road rage. This is Columbine High School. This is terrorism. And all wars. That's what this is. And that is on the massive increase, isn't it? So what happens if you can't fight your way out, you can't run away? For instance, if you go and punch the boss in the nose, or your teacher, then you're going to end up in jail or at least out of a job, right? So if you can't fight your way out, you can't run away, what's left? This. Oops. I want bigger. There's one last-ditch effort on the part of the mind to survive this. Unconsciousness. If you can't run away or fight your way out, unconscious. What are you supposed to do if a bear attacks you? You're supposed to play dead. Maybe he'll only eat your arm. You've seen other animals use that technique, haven't you? Just, you know, they get caught and they just turn over on their back, put their belly up in the air and their legs, and they play dead. It is a survival tactic. It just also happens to be the mother of all addictions and the father of all suicides. Basically, this is a denial of experience. And the Southern Belle don't sleep dead away, thump. What happened here? No one clubbed this woman in the head. She just decided to deny the experience. Didn't she? All addictions are a person's chosen method to remain unconscious. And it doesn't matter if it's alcohol or if it's drugs or if it's work or gambling or shopping or sitcoms. All addictions are a chosen method to stay unconscious. And how many people do you know, yourself excluded, are stuck in that sort of thing? A whole bunch of people, huh? Are you starting to get the impact of what this acceleration means? 400 years ago, people had lots of time to sit and ponder things before they changed. In 400 years, you had lots of 24th of a second to work it out. But now, it's not that way, and it's going to get faster and faster on everybody you know, including yourself. This is a serious situation. This is why the world looks like it's going to pieces, because it is. The mind was not built for speed. It was evolved when things were going a lot slower. You know, trying to keep your mind up to speed is sort of like taking your donkey for a run behind the family station wagon at 75 miles an hour. It's just not pretty. But that's what's happening to everyone. And it's going to get even more dramatic in the future. Okay? So, we're going to replace the tape.
Okay. We're at, this will change in just a second. I want to thank people.
Did you all have a good break?
And,
okay. That was a really good time to do it, too, in the talk, actually. I would venture to guess that this is a bit different than you expected. Then we were going to talk about the Mayan calendar, and it's a bit, we're not talking about Indian in the pyramids. No, we're talking about what is going on in our lives today and what's going to happen tomorrow. And we're going to go into, from this point on, how to resolve the situation that we've discovered. Okay? And how you can take this out to your friends and neighbors and help them to resolve it too, because you want to have some company, don't you? So we've got this situation, and I think you all, it's registering on you, isn't it? So now, it's pretty evident that we are all going to be going completely out of our minds. It's going to happen. So we might as well go ahead and look at what's out there outside of your mind. What's out there is your intuition. What is outside of your own mind is your intuition, your own personal knowing. Your own personal power. intuition. This intuition, this own, your own knowing, without having to rely on any outside information or evidence whatsoever, was made a death sentence by the Catholics during the Inquisition. They murdered over 4 million women for having intuition. Yes.
Just for the record, I'd like to say that there was a news story came over the media within, I think, about the last week, where the Pope was asking for forgiveness what the Catholic Church had done during the Inquisition.
Well, should we go ahead and forgive him? I think so.
I think we're on the wiser.
We're the what?
The wiser.
Oh, they're gone. Those 4 million women, anybody who professed to know something without first producing the actual physical evidence on how they came to know it, was declared a witch. And they were burned and dragged and stabbed and they were persecuted. And as a result, intuition went out of style. We just put it on the shelf. The Catholics knew what they were doing, because this is your personal power. It's your own power. And you know the law of supply and demand. If everybody's got power, then what's mine worth? If nobody's got power and I've got it, mine's worth a whole lot more. And that's what they were doing to everybody. And that caught on and has been brought forward to the situation we're in right now. And thank you, Pope, for asking for forgiveness. It's about time. Actually, it's perfect time, because we can now afford to forgive them, because there's a larger understanding of what has been going on over all this period. There is no fault here. There is a process. You know, Hitler, right here, was just doing his job. The Bushies right now, Bush and Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, all those guys, they're doing a great job. They really are. Anybody want their job? Go, guys. They are tearing down everything that the power structure stands for in record time. Go, guys. We got to get this stuff out of the way. And they're doing a wonderful job of it. Intuition. You know, we pay athletes a lot of money, don't we, to play silly games? Don't we? I mean, it's almost ludicrous, almost crazy how much we pay, millions of dollars a year, to go out and play a game? Are we nuts? Maybe not. Because, you see, these athletes, when they're out there, under very stressful conditions. I mean, playing for a national championship with all kinds of money and your next year's career on the line, plus endorsements and all that. And under tremendous stress, instead of going into the fight or flight syndrome, which would have them kicked off the court or off the team, instead of doing that, these guys routinely go into the zone. And they make the spectacular play. Under tremendous stress, with everything happening all at once, they just go step back, see, and know everything about the moment. Have you read any of those interviews with the quarterback or the hockey players who see the play in slow motion? Have you heard about that? That's how they stay in the game, by being in the zone, riding their intuition. There is no time to think about it. If you think about it, you've lost. When a quarterback starts thinking about the game, he's second string, third string, and out there making commercials. Being in the zone, being in their intuition, is why we pay them the money. Because they're doing something that we know is vitally important. Something that we admire. We admire it. That's why we pay for it. Those clothes that you're wearing, I'll bet at some time or another, you bought them. And the reason that you paid anything for it is because you admired that apparel. And the more you admire something, the more it's worth to you, and the more you'll pay. And that's really the basis of all exchange. It's how much it is admired. You can even admire how much you hate something, or how much distaste you have for it, or how ugly something is. You can admire how ugly something is, can't you?
God, that's ugly.
It's an amount of admiration. In fact, it's what beings exchange. Beings exchange admiration rather than money or thoughts or communication. They really exchange admiration between one another. You want to know where economy is moving to? Moving away from money, isn't it? It's moving into the exchange of admiration rather than physical goods. But this intuition, being in the zone, is very, very important. And since we're all going to be going out of our minds, oh, you'll still have one. No. It's sort of like you still have, we still have bodies, you know, and we're using those as a vehicle, you know. You'll still have a mind, and you can still add two and two and that kind of thing. But when it comes down to dealing with changes and the amount of rapid change that's coming, this is the only thing that will work. You will not have time to think it through. You will only have time to take the action. And when you're thinking, when you're using the mind, what's also in there is all the fears, doubts, worry. Okay? Big clue. How do you know it's your intuition and not your mind? Your intuition is always, no matter what the circumstance, and that's you guys that were in the accidents, remember? When you were engaged in your intuition, there was no fear. There was a calm certainty, a knowing of what to do. There was no time to worry about whether you were doing this right or wrong. It was direct action. Your intuition, no matter what or how dire the circumstances, your intuition will always be calm and knowing. Your mind, on the other hand, will throw in the kitchen sink. I've talked to some people who shared experiences with these accidents and whatnot. They made it through the experience, and other passengers in the car or companions didn't survive the situation. And these people knew exactly why they didn't survive, and the passengers didn't survive, and they did. It was because they personally stayed right there in the moment, while the passenger was going, no, I'm denying this is happening at all. They were in their mind. The survivor was in their intuition. That's how important this is. Is a big topic. 9/11, who survived, who didn't? The people who followed their intuition and went fishing that morning instead of to work survived. The people who got down out of the buildings when the first plane hit, and including in the second tower, the people who got out of the buildings, followed their intuition, took a break, went home, they survived. The people who got out of the buildings then heard the all clear, and their boss reminding them that they had customers on the West Coast that they should be selling stuff to, and then got back in the elevators and went back up into the buildings, didn't survive. What was the difference? The guys that went back up in the building had a reason. They had reasons for going back in the building. I got to make my mortgage payment. You know, the kids got to go to summer school. They had reasons. I would get fired if I didn't go back. They had reasons, and they were in their mind rather than following their intuition. Just some examples. But this is going to become more and more critical as we go forward from here. More and more critical. Now, next problem. How do you find your intuition? And how do you keep it tuned in? Because, of course, we've all had the experience, right?
That's a good question.
We've all had the experience of our intuition. Usually, it's fleeting. It's a little thing, and then it goes away. And then it's clouded with all this doubt about, was that even my own thought, or you know, all that stuff, right? The mind just jumps right on you, and This mind thing is not your friend, friend. It's a parasitic, self-indulgent, self-preservation mechanism. It would rather be right than you be alive. The mind. You've probably had friends who denied that there was anything wrong with them because the mind said, that can't happen, that can't be there, nope, it's not right, it wouldn't go for treatment, let alone alternative treatment, and they're not here anymore. They were right until they actually kicked it. This is not a fairy tale. I mean, the mind would rather be right than a lot of people than them be alive. So getting a good grip on this thing is really important. And having this engaged really puts the mind in its place, where it becomes just a tool rather than an identity. So how do you do that? Well, intuition is your own personal knowing, right? And all knowing comes from a source. We don't have to give it a name even. It just comes from somewhere. And it comes in a flow, more or less. It's like a, this is, there we go. We'll have this flow of creation. See the source, of this flow would necessarily be the source of all knowing, because it's all that happens is coming out, all that exists is coming this way. So, here we have your consciousness in this flow of event. Okay? Here we go. Like this. 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 Oh, boy. It's getting quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. Your consciousness is oriented by time and place. In this flow. Have you noticed that when you have an intuitive moment, it seems like time doesn't go by at all? Until way later, and you go, whoa, where'd all the time go? But for that time, you were just being there. In one moment, just like, it was a flow. Okay? This is the schematic of how this works. When you're in your intuition, you're centered in that flow of information. The trick is to stay there. It's not so easy with everything that's going on and with your mind preying on you. But the Maya had two things on this side. One, things were going slower. But they had a couple of other orientations. We are oriented, our consciousness and our society is oriented by time and place. Time and place, time and place. Physical, 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 physical. The Maya had some more help. They had this orientation right here, which is called personal intent. One through 13. Have you ever been someplace you didn't really intend to be? Like at school or at work or the middle of an argument. Did you feel centered or did you feel uncentered? Did you feel centered or were you like off-center? Okay, me too. When I was someplace I didn't really intend to be, I felt off-center. But these guys knew their personal intent. They had that orientation. So it was easier for them to recognize when they were doing what they intended to do with this lifetime. That would help to keep you centered, wouldn't it? If you felt like, right away, if you felt like that wasn't happening, you'd get back onto what you were supposed to do. Okay? They also had this orientation, this major orientation right here, called the divine plan. In our civilization, there is no plan. It's been 16 billion years of happy little accidents that ended up with you sitting on that chair. That's the way our science looks at it. It might as well have been an explosion in a chemical factory that produced you here. There was no divine plan. These guys had a divine plan. They knew. And that there were 20 different aspects of creation. Like a dodecahedron, you know, the geometry figure, 20-sided figure. So this personal intent and this orientation to the divine plan, that is the recognition of your part in the divine plan, that produces a symbol in the Mayan civilization. This diagram right here has a name. It's called the Eighth Division Sky Place. And that symbol stands for heaven. You've been there. There are moments in your life when you were oriented by time and place. You knew you were doing what you desired or wanted to do, and you knew you were a part of something much larger than yourself. Felt cool, didn't it? Heavenly, huh? This is the importance of this calendar. The Mayan calendar was never about time. It was always about measuring and keeping track of the flow of creation and the intent of creation and the aspect of creation every single day. Remember, there's one law in the universe. What you pay attention to, you become conscious of. So what if every day you were paying attention to the energy of this flow of creation? What would you become conscious of? So would it be easier to have your consciousness attuned to your intuition? Easier isn't all that good a word. It's automatic. Without any effort, without any thinking about it at all. And I mean no meditating. I mean no, just forget it. You look in the morning to see what the intent of creation is for that day. Then you go and you live your life. The Maya woke up every morning and celebrated the day for the purpose it served on the creation, and then went and lived their lives. Every day. You know what the word entrainment is? Entrainment is the automatic syncopation of life forms or even mechanical objects. Science doesn't have a real good explanation of why it happens, but they sure know it happens. One example is a baby and a mother, and when they're nursing, the mother and the baby's heart go into rhythm. They beat at the same time. That's called entrainment. It's a natural matching up. It works for objects too. If you take cuckoo clocks, in a clock shop, for instance, and you get them all ticking at different times, within a week or so, they'll all be ticking and talking at exactly the same time. It's called entrainment. And what this is a tool to entrain your consciousness to the flow of creation. 13 and 20. And it goes 1 through 13, and it goes through these different aspects of creation, all 20 of them, and it starts again. So it's a weave of those two numbers. And you can go way into thinking about it, and it will do you no good whatsoever. It's only what you don't think about it, but end up just knowing from inside, that does you any benefit. I know that sounds completely backwards from everything you were taught in school, but, well, we're not in school, are we? A side note, I mean, part of this is that consciousness, we've been talking about consciousness as the awareness of being aware, and we've been talking about the mind as a tool that consciousness uses to see the similarities and differences between things, right? Consciousness, overall, it has a job to do. Consciousness divides creation. it divides it. Have you ever noticed that when you are really conscious, you can see the veins in the leaf, or you can see the different colors on a butterfly's wing, or you can count the stars. But when you're upset, and maybe not so conscious, everything looks kind of the same. Have you ever noticed that? The more conscious you are, the more divisions there are in your experience. And the less conscious you are, the more prejudiced you are. Have you noticed that? Where everything and all the experiences of all the people look the same. The job of consciousness is to notice the differences. That's how you count your blessings. That's how you appreciate the experience. It's by looking and picking out the differences. So consciousness divides. And the Mayan calendar says it divides by 13. All consciousness is divided by 13 in increments of 13 and 13 and 13 and 13. 13 is the number by which consciousness operates. No wonder 13 is unlucky and satanic. Well, creation has a job too. Creation, I mean all of creation, multiplies. And all of creation multiplies by the factor of 20. 20 times. Anybody here studied biology? I mean, the very beginning of biology, from the single egg and on. Multiplies by 20. That's how you got so big. It's through multiplication of your own cells. And it does it in factors of 20. From top to bottom. Interesting, huh? So by following how this weave goes of 13 and 20, I mean, basically what we're talking about is that this rectangle, 13 by 20, just by being aware of that, it entrains your consciousness to all of the interplay of consciousness and creation. And there's nothing that you can think about it that's going to help. It's just what you end up knowing. And your intuition kicks in, and you end up in the right place, meeting the right people, doing the right thing. That's what's going to get us all through this. I'm not saying that this is the only way to do that. I'm saying that this one works all the time. And that's why this is important.
All right, we're going to continue this in 1 second here. For some reason, we I don't exactly know what happened. We somehow lost the connection. We're going to go right back into it in a second here, but
I think it's fascinating, though, and I think it's...
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely amazing. And we...
So the mind itself doesn't really have to work. It's intuition that we have to count on.
Right, it is. And what's happening here, let me just go to another website here. I'm going to... We'll read a little bit about it. I think this is kind of interesting. Did we read this before?
No.
The female or a spiritual node of the sixth day. The last node in the matrix is the female or spiritual polarity. and it is Manik. M-A-N-I-K is the name of it. And I'm reading this from the website Mind Calendar. It's about time for 2011 vision. And it says, Manik is this deer.
This is symbolized in a glyph in nature by the Maya as the deer. Not the deer of small bambiness, but the larger stag-like deer, especially with a long white tail. The deer represents the pillar of the four directions from which everything in the world was created, and the pillars of spiritual strength. The four legs represent the four directions, the four corners of the universe, and the four elements.
Manik is a spirit's tool which
upholds the four pillars
of
directions. The
daykeepers say deer is authority. It is the strength and power that carries the burden of the destiny of mankind as it goes about its spiritual direction. It is the strength and energy of the four cardinal points that were required for the creation of the world. It is moving in the direction of spirit, inspiring, following the tail of the deer.
The stage of Manik is when a spiritual path, like plasma before lightning, is formed and creates direction for the energy to flow. It is unseen or detected, and yet it is the container which will guide everything to come. It is the four directions and everything in between them, and it represents all of their potential. In Mayan communities, it is the day of the hierarchy, and thus it is the day to celebrate and do ceremony for the teachers and all the spiritual guides. Manik in the matrix always means an ability to go in many directions, and a gift in providing guidance and direction. Manik people are chosen because of their knowledge of the spiritual aspects of direction.
The creative tone of this left side, or feminine, is 6, which is flowing and will be in polarity with the male of revealing. Again, I think the meaning of this time cycle is very clear. This will be a time to get clarity about how to flow in the direction that our spirit intends, towards whatever destiny you have been wondering about if it hasn't been clear up till now. And the male or the material node of the sixth day. Want to read this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that explained the female aspect of it. Now we'll go into the male aspect of the sixth day.
The day lord for the male is material polarity is men. Man is represented by the Maya in glyph and nature as the eagle. This is the highest perspective on the earth. This energy is the intermediary with divine energy. With this energy comes the highest perspective possible without being actually God or in heaven. This is the stage of the first ability to see what is possible on that path which is calling us.
The daykeepers say that it is the bird of freedom. It is the representation of everything that exists in space that we humans can perceive. Men carries and transmits the prayers to the Creator because men can reach the highest realms of space. The vision and perspective of men is well developed at all levels, close and far.
Men in the matrix always means an abundance of spiritual wealth because spiritual information is close to them. I don't think we need to stretch too far to see what having men in the matrix in the material polarity means for this particular time. It will be a time to get the highest possible perspective on our material goals, possessions, and desires. And material in the sense of things as well as our bodies as they are physically manifested. That the creative tone for men is revealing would simply mean that our material perspective on life can be revealed to us in ways that we have never been aware of it before.
And that explains that. And then we go into the future node of the sixth day, which is Muluk.
Muluk.
Oh, Muluk. The future node of the sixth day, birth matrix, is Muluk, and is represented in glyph and nature by the Maya as a puma. It has two general aspects, one of offering and one of magnetism. On days of Muluk, daykeepers always remind us to offer or pay for the gifts we have received. and the magnetism of Moloch is manifested in the human being as emotions. The aspect of the offering is pretty straightforward. It is like offering a ceremony and paying for the gifts of the Creator. Moloch always reminds us to be in the action of the offering or the payment, and Moloch can also manifest as the reaction to the payment. In its second aspect of magnetism or water, the Maya always use water in ceremony and appreciation.
The daykeepers say that it is rain and offering. It also has the aspect of water and magnetism, which manifests in humans as emotions. Emotions that fuel the movement of action. This energy would be what provides attraction force in today's laws of attraction context. The law is not at all new, of course, and Moloch is the mediator of the energy of manifestation. It can be seen as the birth of the emotional body. Out of all those things that are possible and those that you see, the ones that attract us magnetize us emotionally. The energy of the emotions that draw and form us. Moloch in the matrix always means a person who can magnetize creation with ceremony, and if it is the matrix, then those persons are encouraged to learn to do ceremony in any way that makes meaning for them every 20 days on this day. And so what does it mean for this cycle to have Moloch in the future node? By all means, observe every Moloch day with a ceremony of giving thanks.
Which is every 20 days.
This is a critical time to pay for gifts and acknowledge abundance with gratitude. Attend to what attracts and repels you at the most basic level and learn to cultivate this attention. Use the attention to guide your choices in life. In the next two posts, we'll meet Manic and Men, Spiritual Directions and Divine Perspective, which are the two polarities of the birth matrix. To be honest, I think these are the two most important in this one and look forward to 360 days of learning to balance the powers of direction and perspective along with flowing and revealing.
Yeah. And so that's essentially what... It goes on, and I'm going to advise you to maybe check out this website, which is the Mayan calendar.
Keep going.
Just trying to see how it's Mayan calendar, but the actual Mayan calendar basics, I guess.
Well, you can get to it from Zellungal's site.
Well, no, you actually can't.
No?
No. Just check out Mayan calendar. It's about time for 20/11 vision. And Mayan calendar days is the name of the blog, Mayan calendar days. And you can check that out. It's a very good blog that describes each day.
And it talks about the symbols.
Right. The last post on this was actually December 3rd, but it hasn't been updated quite since. But I'm looking at his archives here to see if he's... You know, that's the last post. So, you know, I advise that you check that out. We're almost out of time. We've got about 2 minutes left. And I want to thank everybody who's joined us tonight. And again, I apologize that we weren't able to bring George on.
But he was overwhelmed at the last minute when we spoke to him. He's in the process of moving,
right.
And he just got overwhelmed.
He's moving from Long Island up to Kinderhook, which is in the next couple of days.
In New York State.
He's
got a lot of work.
He just packed all the...
A difficult time
to
move during the holiday season.
Today,
so
we
miss him, and...
Yeah.
But we're looking forward to him moving up here because he's going to be closer to us.
Yeah, we'll be able to see him quite often. But I want to thank everybody who's joined us tonight and joined us every Friday night. And I hope you enjoyed that. Check out Zell, that's X-E-L, Lungold, L-U-N-G-O-L-D, in YouTube. And just go to Google and it'll bring you right there.
I hope
and
you
check
all.
Check out his work. It's fantastic. He's brilliant. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago, but...
Through the beauty of technology,
well,
we still have him.
Well, his video is still alive and very, very well viewed. and they're very intense. And also, it's a video, it's a visual presentation as well, so makes it easier. So
I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday.
7-5-4-3-2-1 seconds, and have a good
and
night.
We'll see you after the new year.
Yeah.
Good night, folks.
See, it counts down for you on the
top. Well, I couldn't see it.
Yeah, so anyway, that's good. So thank you, folks, and have a good